The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Delighted you are here. It's 11 minutes after 6, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. This is the time in which there is something on your mind. Just go ahead and check in. 770-533-770-KMED. All I ask is that you have a pithy point. Make a point. It's all right. It's a talk show. By the way. And by the way, a little bit of talk show etiquette. When you call the show and then I just say, hi, how are you? And what do you want to talk about? Don't tell me the entire thing that you want to talk about. Just tell me it because, you know, we're one horse town here. Small town talk radio with big town talking. So we just appreciate that. But just tell me what you want to talk about. That's all it is. Or you can just hit the phones live with me, too. 770-533-770-KMED. Marine Corps. Colonel William Dunn is going to join me, and he wrote a book called Gunfighters Rules, and he understands it's forgotten more about firearms than I'll ever know, even though I really enjoy firearms and go out and shoot them as often as I can get around to it. But the SKS rifle that that Ralph ended up attempting to do an assassination on former President Trump on Sunday, we're going to talk a bit about that. Was it as bad a rifle to do what he was trying to do with it? I know it had filed off serial numbers and all sorts of things, and the guy was a felon in possession. You know, he's being charged with all sorts of crimes. But he's actually not being charged with anything as far as an assassination, because I don't think there's any crime about that. You know, okay, so you had a gun at the golf course, and you're sticking it through the fence, and then, you know, off we go. Right, that sort of thing. I don't know if that's necessarily the crime or not. Or maybe they're trying to just get more information or pump more information out of them to make sure that there are no people helping them out on this, okay? All right. So we can talk about that. We can talk about other things this morning, too. By the way, notice that Thursday we're going to have those speed limit restrictions in downtown Medford going down to 20 miles an hour at some point. And I know that John Vile and various other people connected with the city are saying, oh, this is going to make downtown Medford safer. A question I have for you this morning. They're using safety and also bringing Medford in line with state statutes, because the state statutes say that if you define a business district, that's a 20-mile-per-hour speed limit. That would seem to imply then that the city of Medford has a choice. Once again, this is policy. This is not about law. If you declare it a business district, I suppose, then you can make it 20 miles per hour. Because when it comes right down to it, if you were talking about the dollar amount of business being done through downtown Medford, given the fact that the city has been turned over to bumdom and decay in some cases, as far as business goes, you probably have more business on Biddle Road or McAndrews. Why not declare them business districts? And that way, you know, you can make them 20 miles per hour. But they make the claim that downtown Medford, this will make downtown Medford safer. My question for you, other than bums running between the vehicles or bicyclists taking their electric bicycles and doing 40 miles per hour down the sidewalks, which I'm trying to figure out why they haven't done something about that yet at this point. Are the speed or is the speed of cars through downtown Medford a safety hazard? Because the city of Grants Pass also has three streets. You know, they're not slowing you down to 20. I'm not seeing reports in the Daily Courier or the Oregon Eagle or anybody else talking about people being mowed over by cars all the time. So where does this talk about safety? Is this more about this talk of safetyism, the cult of safetyism, in which we take every policy that we want to do, which is not make people want to drive in downtown Medford, because we need to have a climate-friendly, equitable community, and we all hide that behind safetyism. Well, we're going to slow you down to 20 miles per hour, declare it a business district. Well, what do you mean? You're going to declare it a business district? It's also going to be a climate-friendly, equitable community, which means you're not going to do any business. You're just going to have people living there. Well, that would make it a residential area, so that would be 25 miles per hour. I'm really confused about this whole, this whole agenda of making sure that you don't want to go through downtown at the same time that we're going to call it a business district. Maybe we'll have to recall it a lack of business district if all of the various gangrene plans come to fruition over the coming years. We can talk about that, too, if you want. 770-5633. We'll go through some other headlines, too. And if you're on hold, I'll get right to you. Your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to faucet. Here's a review from Stephanie.
Justin and the team are awesome. We've called them out to our home on two separate occasions, and both times they came and fixed our issues in a quick, efficient, and friendly manner. I can't recommend them enough. We'll only be using Siskiyou in the future.
Providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Who are the Elks?
We're your friends. We're your neighbors. We are the Elks.
We believe in supporting our veterans and youth. We are the Elks.
We believe in giving back. We are the Elks.
All that we are missing is you. Visit discoverelks.org today and join us in the premier charitable and fraternal organization in our state.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager at Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
18 minutes after 6, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 770-5633. We go to Paul. Paul is in Cave Junction. Paul, great to have you on KBXG. What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure.
About this whole fire map insurance deal, the fire map that they, ODF and all of them, came up with, and the state legislature said the insurance companies can't use it for jacking up rates. Yet out here in Cave Junction, we got insurance companies that are canceling people right and left or raising the rates to as high as 280% over this fire map.
Now, are they raising it over? Now, the claim, though, is that the insurance companies have their own fire risk assessment maps. Do they tell you, out of curiosity, trying to be fair about this? That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually had them tell me it's over the fire assessment map.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And so my pebble in my shoe is, okay, I understand, you know, clean up our homes and trying to protect them. I'm all for that. But why aren't we holding the Forest Service accountable for not maintaining the lands out here for the last 20 years?
Well, I can tell you that real quickly because the state of Oregon has no sway over what the federal government has. Isn't this great when you have so much of the federal government controlling the land in our state?
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to change that.
Yeah, I would agree. Of course, last states that tried to do that, they called it secession, and they came and tried to kill you. You know, but
yeah.
But you know, I mean, that's what the Civil War settled. You know that, Paul, right? It's not whether you could quit. It's that if you're going to leave and take over the land that you're at, you better be able to defend yourself against the ruling regime. You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I understand that. Yeah. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks.
All right. Hey, thank you, Paul. And by the way, think about that, given that this was a country which was formed from secession. But if you try to secession yourself, then that's a problem. But you know how it is. You know, it's kind of like the mafia. You know, you join the mafia and then I'm going to quit the mafia. I don't feel like being in the mafia anymore. I don't want to be part of your crime family, your government crime family. And it's like, oh, sorry, you know, it's like Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. Isn't that great how that works? 21 after 6. By the way, I'm not advocating we secede from the country, but I sure would like to secede from Oregon. How about that first? Let's secede from Oregon first, from the crazies in Salem. Vicky's out in the Applegate. Hello, Vicky. How you doing? Welcome.
Good morning. I'm doing good.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Okay, well, for the assassination attempt, mm-hmm. I think it's very bizarre that the first attempt was when Trump was having a big gathering, you know, like he was doing
the rally
trail.
Yeah, the rally.
And the second, this last one, he's on a private, you know, thing doing. He's not campaigning. He's actually playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really ridiculous to try and, you know, wave that the guy wasn't trying to assassinate Trump. What was he shooting ducks in the pond, the water trap? I mean,
no one's fooled to thinking that he wasn't trying to assassinate. But I don't know if there's actually, you know, is there a crime that you can get you for having a firearm around the president, you know, or within 500 yards of the president, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, the fact that he did stick the barrel through the fence would appear to indicate that he had bad intent, right? We know that.
Yeah. And then the second thing about downtown, going 20 miles an hour through Jacksonville, I get that. It's a small historic town. There's people that cross. They don't use the crosswalks. I mean, I'm surprised more people don't get hit.
Yeah, there's a lot of stupid crossing in Jayville. I remember that when I lived there. You're right.
And I think the purpose of that is, well, people are darting in front of you, but another is so that you can see all the little shops when you're going through, especially if you're a tourist and not someone who lives here constantly. Downtown, I think they're trying to do basically the same thing, not to mention district. I mean, you know, the word district is really being thrown around a lot. It's like the Hunger Games, you know. They want to, like, separate everything. And
yeah, funny that you mentioned the Hunger Games. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, the district, in your district. I'll be talking with Diane Anderson about that, about the Sovietization of America that they're still trying to push. And of course, a lot of what they're doing in downtown Medford is part of that, whether they realize it or not. But that's it. Yeah. You know, the one thing I would say, though, where Medford, I think, errs in this is that they're doing this essentially to Highway 99. This is a main road, which is also the backup to Interstate 5. And, you know, to do this, you know, you want to make this 20 miles per hour, you know, even if you're going through Main Street, you want to make it 20 miles per hour on your side streets in your business district. OK, I can see. But you're talking about your main arterial going through the city that I think is. You know, it's wrong to do this, or foolish at the very least, okay?
Well, and it's already congested. I mean, the lights don't turn when they should, and you get backed up traffic. But again, I think because, like you were saying, there's more business on Biddle Road and some of these other main arteries, and there's not in going right through Medford. Again, you slow them down. They have time to look at each shop that they pass. You know, I think it's a way of making people kind of look at the buildings going straight through town rather than just go around.
Okay, well, look at the, you know, how much sense does that make, too? Let's say you're driving through downtown and there was, you know, you're over there by the Criterion and then you want to try to park, right? And then that's the next thing. Then you have to go try to find a parking prison. Their whole push, I think, is to reduce miles traveled through downtown Medford, but they think they're going to continue to have their same vibrant business community because we'll just take a bus. We'll take RBTD to go into downtown Medford. I think that's ultimately where, you know, the planners would like us to be. Do you think that makes sense?
And that does make sense because people are going to get real tired real quick. Now, when I go to town,
I agree. They'll get tired real quick. But the thing is, though, will they take the bus to go to the downtown Medford to comply with all of the climate-friendly, equitable communities and all of the we're going to reduce vehicle miles? Or are we going to just not go downtown, or will we take the bus, which is what they're hoping to push everybody to, obviously?
Yeah, and I think it's more like we're not going to go downtown because everybody wants to drive their own car, which I get, you know. I mean, there's this whole climate change thing. I mean, they need to realize there's a history of the Earth doing what she's going to do. And we do contribute, I think, but not as much as they make it out to be.
But it is difficult to get
it
is difficult to get people to let go of that. And even then, the climate change hypothesis, of course, humans have an influence. Everybody has influence on the environment to a certain extent. But the vast majority of the so-called greenhouse gases are not produced by humanity. They're just produced. Okay. Appreciate the call. Vicki, always good hearing from you. 770-5633. Pebble in your shell. Shoe Tuesday. Pebble in your shell. I like that. Pebble in your shell. Pearl in your shell, too. Let me go to line two. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Good morning, Bill.
Hi, who's this?
Steve.
Oh, it's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, you know, you want to know what's going on, go to the Medford City website. It is so full of DEI stuff. And, you know, I bet most people don't even know who their city councilor is. One of the city councilors is Tim D'Alessandro.
He's running for mayor.
Can't see it. Yeah, and he is an absolute communist. When Route 26 went through,
by the way, I erred on that. He's not running for mayor. I'll find that. But anyway, please continue.
I talked to him about the bus deal, and that guy can talk faster than heck. But his basic deal for adding to the bus system was because of Americans with Disabilities Act. And he gave me this thing. They've done studies of where poor people live, and they have to have a bus route going for where poor people live, mm-hmm. regardless of whether people ride the bus or not. Then John Vile, we had that city meeting here. You know, they had their little district meetings down at Hedrick. And John Vile, I asked him, I said, you know what? You guys are spending all this money on bicycle paths. Do you know how much per mile it costs and how much, you know? And he goes, oh, it wouldn't pencil. And I said, well, why are you doing it? Well, we have to. You know, it's all this.
But you see, John is telling you the truth, though. John is telling you the truth.
Yes.
But on the other hand, the city also doesn't really push back against it and use the power that it does have to be able to resist this, okay?
They're not trying. Their whole go look at the Medford City Council website. It's so full of DEI stuff. They got a plan called, I think, 2040. And
yeah, that's the vision plan. Yeah, the vision 2040, which essentially is the final installation of a communist lifestyle in downtown Medford, climate-friendly, equitable community. It's all connected. It's all part of the same thing.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing we can do about this is, is to get rid of the city council, because they're the ones that are responsible for doing all this stuff.
Yeah. I'll have to get Nick Card. Nick Card, I think, is the one city councilor who will actually reach out to me and agree to come on and talk about it. And I am concerned. Like I said, I don't want to throw people under the bus here, but there obviously is everyone's just knuckling under and just letting the state run roughshod. And I would just figure, why is it that Medford figures it has to do 20 miles per hour to remain in statute? But what is Grants Pass violating the state statute on the 20 mile per hour business zones when they run 199 through downtown Medford? I don't know. Or if that downtown Grants Pass, rather. Pardon me.
Not only that, Bill, but the where they put bicycle paths and no parking everywhere else, and you know all the stupid stuff that they're doing. John Vile just says, "Well, we have to," and Tim D'Alessandro's the same way. I haven't talked to anybody else about. Well, Matt Brinkley, I've had a couple conversations with him about.
Yeah, Matt's gone. Yeah, Matt's gone now. By the way, from what I understand.
Really?
Yeah,
on the website.
Really? I was told that he had left the city.
Well, maybe I might be mistaken there, but so they've got a new planner. I wonder how bad a communist that person is. Well, the only thing, the only way we can rectify this that I know of is to get some different people in the city council. I don't even know half the people that are in there. Eric Stark, and there's a lady, I don't know her name, but
Sarah Spansale.
They're making this happen. They're not letting it happen. They're making it happen, and I think it's about funding. But you know, it's not that they're going out and saying this is what we want to do. They're just doing it. They to their credit, they've put it on the website. But how many people look at that?
I think that most people feel that they are powerless to be able to resist the, you know, the rollover. You know, the roll-up of the way. You know, it's nothing about what we're looking for in downtown Medford. It's what the very loud minority is looking for, and especially the climate change cult, too. Appreciate the call there, Steve. Got a roll here. Let me go to line three. You are on next. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
I wanted to thank Alan DeVore for buying me a set of tires I get on Wednesday. They had to order some of them, but he's a really nice man, and I wanted to thank him for all his help.
Boy, that is that's a great story. You know, Alan does stuff like this all the time, and I've heard the stories. He never is going out there looking for the credit. And
nobody deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a reason why Dr. Powers yesterday ended up doing that profile of him, because he's just a solid community member, Dave. But I'm glad to hear that you'll get your tires. Okay, that's very kind of him.
Yeah,
okay.
On Wednesday. Thank you.
All right, you take care, Dave. And one more before news. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Morning, Bill. Bob Shanda in Medford.
Bob.
Have you ever noticed traveling through downtown Medford, you do not see Highway 199 signs?
Does that mean it was decertified somehow?
Yeah. The state gave them up to the city. The city's responsible for, you know, the asphalt overlays and the overcrowned roads.
Okay, well, the city may be responsible for it, but in essence, though, it is still the emergency route through the city.
Oh, of course.
And everything that they are doing with the downtown speed limits and also the, you know, putting in of bicycle bum ways, et cetera, are going to make it much more dangerous, possibly, if there are actual problems with Interstate 5 at some point. And it could happen. And it just astounds me that they have these agenda-based people in place that are continuing to steamroller. And it's not exactly like we're asked what we would like to see happen. It's like we have professional planners who are inculcated with planning.org, the American Planning Association, which essentially is Marxism in a college course, really. You know, modern American planning is that. That's just the fact of the matter. Just go to planning.org, take a look at what they're all for, okay?
Oh, yeah, I sent you the State of Oregon little webpage on, you know, streets and all that, and right within there I kind of highlighted, you know, the speed limits can't compensate for poor planning. I said it right there on that page.
Yeah, I suppose so. But the thing being, though, is that if, you know, business districts, though, they say 20 miles per hour by statute. But can you really declare downtown Medford a business district? There's way more business elsewhere around the city than I would say in downtown right now.
I entirely agree with you, yeah. Uh-huh. You know, Front Street, 20 miles an hour, First Street, you know, those sides.
Makes
streets,
sense.
20 miles
makes
an
sense.
Hour. Makes, yeah, they're narrower, you know, and you've got, you know, cars parked on either side. I also sent you an image of Main Street, Medford, from about 1951, and it was four lanes of traffic, bidirectional, with parking on either side.
That was back when serious people ran the city and were actually trying to move people in and out of the city smoothly rather than...
You know, there were businesses downtown that people in the city wanted to go to, you know.
Damn straight. Hey, thank you for bringing it up here, Bob. Take care.
Okay, Bill. Take
All
care.
Right. 6:34. Talk about the Trump would-be assassin here in just a moment. Marine Corps Colonel William Dunn. Of course, he's retired, but he has a lot to say about that. We'll kick him on here next.
Hi, this is Dwayne Barkley, owner at American Rancher Garage, a full-service auto repair shop. We get numerous questions that begin with, hey, do you work on? So to put it simply, if it's between your license plates, we probably work on that. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. Stop by Biddle Road, right across the street from Elmer's, or call us at 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Republican lawmakers in Oregon want Democratic Governor Tina Kotek to ensure the integrity of the state's voter rolls after 304 non-citizens were found to have been registered as voters. Oregon Republican Senator Daniel Bonnemaster to consider implementing measures similar to those in Virginia, where the governor directed state officials to certify the accuracy of voter lists by removing those who moved, died, or were unable to verify their U.S. citizenship. A Wasco County grand jury has indicted a transient for starting the Larch Creek fire that burned over 18,000 acres this summer. Prosecutors say 51-year-old Christopher Manili was squatting on property he didn't own and started the fire, which cost $14 million to contain. Wednesday at midnight, the fire danger level is decreasing from extreme to high in Klamath and Lake counties. The fire danger level applies to all private, county, and state wildlands protected by the Oregon Department of Forestry, as well as the Fremont, Winnema National Forest, and BLM. Bill London, KMED.
An intelligent solution saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate on qualifying systems, up to $1,000 on Bryant mini split and crossover heat pumps. Some exclusions apply. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to deliver intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Visit myadvancedair.com for details.
Your intelligent heating and cooling solution. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Hi, it's Scuba Steve with Bicoastal Media and KMED. Today I'm chatting with Nick Jones, the principal of Jones & Associates Premier Financial Solutions. Nick, in retirement, how can people be sure they have as much tax-free income as possible?
Well, that actually can be a big challenge without the proper planning. During our strategy sessions, we find many people don't have any tax-free income sources at all. But there are often remedies to this particular issue. In fact, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2018 presented an excellent opportunity for clients to convert to Roth IRAs while taxes are on sale through the year 2025. Now, for high net worth clients in particular, leveraging life insurance to generate tax-free income for life can actually be an even better solution. So, when you meet with us for a strategy session, we'll compare Roth IRAs and life insurance side by side and let you know which will best suit your needs for tax-free retirement income.
Schedule a strategy session with Nick at jonesfinancialtalk.com.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Proud to bring on retired Marine Corps Colonel William Dunn. He's the president of Strategic Resilience Group, LLC. Founded that company back in 2015 after 33 years in the U.S. Marine Corps. Colonel, it's great to have you on. Welcome, sir. Good to have you on.
Bill, thanks. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, what did you do as a... you were a pilot in the Marine Corps. Tell me a little bit about that experience. It must have been wild at times, I'll bet.
It was. In the Marine Corps, every officer and every Marine is a rifleman first. And so I started out as a young enlisted Marine working in supply. Then I got commissioned. I went to infantry officer course, learned how to do all the infantry tactics, and then I transitioned to flying. I flew Marine Cobras AH-1Ws for about 25 years in between doing all the different things. And I was also a forward air controller on the ground controlling air, including controlling my Cobra buddies during OIF-1 in Iraq.
Okay, so attack helicopter pilot, and that could have been dangerous at times, I would imagine. Had to have been.
You know, it is, but we're trained very well. We train all the time, and the pilots up there, we know, and Marine pilots, all pilots do, that go through the military way of life, they know how to deal with that danger in emergency procedures as well as the enemy. We're very trained in how to do that, and we know how to handle most circumstances.
Okay, before we get into the topic of the news du jour, as it were here, you have a book out that you have just written. It's called Gunfighter's Rule. Okay, I want to hear a bit about this. I'm just wondering, is there a little bit of autobiographical take on this one? But go ahead and give me your thumbnail sketch, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when I was a squadron commander, I commanded the gunfighters, HMLA 369 in Iraq. And the book kind of takes a little pathway through my life, becoming a Marine, becoming a forward air control in Iraq. And then it culminates with my time as a squadron commander, as a gun squadron commander in combat in Iraq with just the greatest group of men and women this country's ever put together, fighting the enemy. And we brought everybody home alive, and we just had a great time supporting our ground brothers and sisters for 7 months in Iraq, and turned out to be a cornerstone, definitely in my life, but I'm sure a cornerstone in many of the Marines and sailors that were with us on that squadron deployment.
I have to ask you, especially given all we hear about military today. In fact, I even have some local people that are so concerned about what has happened to military, including the Marines, that they're not recommending that their children go into it any longer. And these were people that served in the Marines, served in the Air Force, in the Army. I mean, just in all sorts of services, and they're talking about the cultural change has been so severe that. That this has to be causing some problems for national defense policy. I don't know. Was any of that creeping in while you were still in the Marines, or is that more of a recent development?
I think it's recent. Most of the time that I was in, we were in combat. 20 years of combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. I never went to Afghanistan, but I did 4 trips to Iraq. In everybody and every service, you know, I don't want to use superlatives, but everyone was focused on the mission, on the war. Mm-hmm. And then as we have moved away from the kinetic fight, we're shifting to what I call the non-kinetic fight, which is in the information domain. A lot of things are changing, not because kinetic to non-kinetic, but because of some of the policies you're seeing. And I have friends that have served with me, and they don't want their children going into the service or the Marine Corps. For me, when people ask me my advice, I just tell them, you have to love it. If you are not going to love what you're doing, you should not come into the military. Because it's hard, it's dangerous, and if you don't feel like you're getting support, you know, all the way up through all our entire government to fight and win a war, then, you know, then my recommendation would be don't join.
Yeah, my concern has been, you know, what's the quality of the fighting force when you have some of the best and brightest that are even being told, you know, hey, don't go. This kind of concerns me because, you know, I've known people, like I said, there's a local family, and I can't, you know, say the name there, but they were talking about how, you know, one time this guy who was highly decorated, just a great soldier, just got chewed out because he referred to his commanding officer as sir, and of course it's one of the transgender types who apparently you were just supposed to know that he didn't want to be referred to as a sir, and he got chewed out in front of everybody for a half hour. He says, I want none of this, I'm done with this kind of stuff, and he quit. He took himself out.
No, that's unfortunate. We are an all volunteer force. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
We require men and women to put their lives on hold in some instances, to put their lives at risk to defend our nation. And they, once they join, they should be afforded every bit of support from the United States government and from the United States to go defend our country.
But it seems that what they're doing now is pushing social agendas that have nothing to do with defending the country, Colonel. And I guess that's where I'm coming from on that.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any room for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are here to fight and win wars, and that's it. There's no room for social agenda. There's no room in my mind for social experimentation. And the military has always been the great meritocracy. You get promoted based on what the military thinks you're going to do next because you've performed at a high level of where you are. It should have nothing to do with anything else than performance, period.
Gunfighters Rule, by the way. The book is available right now everywhere at the usual suspects, and that's, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and maybe at your local bookstore, too, just ask about this. And I guess it's going to be coming out in audiobook here pretty soon. Gunfighters Rule. I'll put that information up there, Colonel. Let us shift the focus here to the modern day, because you work security essentially right now. This is what you do for a living after having left the Marine Corps. Would that be fair? You know, in your company?
Yeah, we do some of that. We do more in the high-end intel information warfare space.
Okay.
And so you could always include security in that. Our folks are doing some things overseas in the Middle East right now. We can't talk too much about what they're doing, but the reality is, yes, and every one of them is required to basically secure themselves and to make sure the bases they are on are secure, just as everyone takes that. You know, every person in the military is responsible for security of their base.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I bring this up, though, is that you have dealt with a lot of firearms in your career, certainly as in the Marine Corps. And they first described the attempted assassination, the second one, on former President Trump on Sunday. And they talked about it being an AK rifle. They now know that it was an SKS rifle that ended up happening. And in your experience, was that a good choice? Not that I'm advocating or trying to help people be a better assassin. It wasn't what I was trying to do. But was that a realistic rifle for 300 to 500 foot shots and things like that? I'm just thinking, it just struck me as a little odd, but I've never shot an SKS.
Yes. So I own an SKS, and I shoot it often. It is a very durable weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is a Chinese SKS. It's called a Chinese Norinco SKS. I can fire 30 rounds out of that at rapid succession. Depending on the bullets, and I have not seen a report on what type bullet they use. They can either be a hollow point bullet or a solid bullet. Either way, if one of those bullets hits a human, if it doesn't kill him, it's going to do massive damage. It is designed to be a very, very simple weapon to fight. So I can give that weapon to an individual that has no training and within 5 minutes train them to shoot and be absolutely accurate at 100 yards. I can fire my rifle at 100 yards, and, you know, we're talking yards and meters, very close to the same, mm-hmm. but at 100 yards without a scope, and be deadly accurate with it.
Okay, without a scope. Now, this is with a scope then, and they're saying that that Routh would have been within 300 to 500 yards of Trump. And is that realistic with a scope?
300 yards, absolutely. 500 yards with an SKS would be a far stretch. 500 yards with an AK-47 is the same, unless you're highly trained. And have spent a lot of time shooting at that distance, that would be, I'm not saying you couldn't do it, right? If all you have to do is lift the rifle high and shoot, and the rounds are going to come down somewhere. But 300 yards, absolutely. 500 yards would be difficult for a trained shooter.
Kind of on the outside range of that weapon. Okay, that platform.
That's correct. But what bothered me about it is the avenues of approach. If I may, talk about two different things, two
sure.
different assassination attempts.
Sure.
When you're protecting a high-value asset, you do not need to wait for the enemy to fire first. In the first incident, it seems that nobody fired, even though they saw the guy. I guess a local police officer shot at him. But the guys that are highly trained did not fire until after he fired. In this case, they didn't wait, which is the appropriate action. So the two different scenarios, what they did in Florida was appropriate. You see a weapon, you engage it, period.
Mm-hmm.
You don't wait for somebody with a weapon to start shooting, you engage them. And, you know, they haven't released any reports, official reports, on the first incident, but if anyone saw that guy with the weapon, we all know that we saw him crawling around the roof with a weapon, right?
You're right.
They should have and could have legally engaged him at that second. They did not have to wait till he fired. And it appears to me, and, you know, I'm only seeing what every other citizen of America has seen, that after he's fired, that's when they shot him. They didn't have to wait. Now, are they going to say they never saw him until he started shooting? Maybe. But the snipers did not have to wait, whereas the Secret Service in Florida did the appropriate action. They saw a rifle, and they engaged.
Yeah,
that's appropriate.
In those particular situations, in their rules of engagement, there are no Marcus of Queensberry rules, so to speak, right? You know, in which, we got to wait for the first shot. And then we
That's right.
And then we go back in. Okay, got it. So, Colonel Dunn, I think what I'm more concerned about here is the fact that this guy allegedly he was camped out there for about 12 hours. That's, they're now admitting this, 12 hours and no sweep. That kind of raises a few issues, wouldn't you think?
It should. And so what we call them in the military is avenues of approach. So in both instances, in Pennsylvania and in Florida, someone should have been responsible for clearing the avenues of approach for potential threats. That building, any, you know, I'll say Marine, but any military person, any police force would have, should have covered that avenue of approach to prevent someone from getting on there. Avenue of approach is a likely area that an enemy or a threat will come. Once you know the avenues of approach, you cover them, period. That's how we do it in the military every day. That's how we do it in combat. And every single person that's in this type of law enforcement is trained in this. In Florida, the fact that an individual could sit in 12 hours without having a dog come through, a squad of individuals just do a little patrol through there, is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe it. It's a shame. And I believe it's criminal negligence on someone's part that they did not screen and clear those areas. You know, I thought back today, a few months back, well, heck, now I say a few months, it was almost a year ago now, we had the 40th anniversary of the Beirut bombing in October 23rd, 2023 was the 40th anniversary of the Beirut bombing. We had some dignitaries coming, SecNav and a commandant of the Marine Corps came, and I got there early, and they had patrols with dogs screening all of the forested areas. Okay?
Yeah.
And that is on very close to, it was out in town in Camp Lejeune, but it's very close. It's a military town with hundreds of military folks there, and they still took that precaution to protect our VIPs. Why this was not done there and why this was not done in Pennsylvania is a huge question that needs to be answered to the American public.
In your opinion, benign neglect or criminal neglect going on?
My opinion, and my opinion only, I think it's criminal neglect. Yeah. A military individual responsible for both of those locations would be relieved immediately and potentially court-martialed for dereliction of duty.
Marine Corps Colonel William Dunn retired, and his new book is Gunfighter's Rule. We'll put all that information up here. You know, this situation with the alleged would-be assassin here, and like I said, he hasn't even been charged with attempted assassination. I don't even know if there's a crime on the books for that. I don't know if you know or not.
Yeah.
But at this point, they're just getting him for a lot of firearms violations. And, gosh, the serial numbers were filed off. There were just all sorts of things that this guy was just not supposed to be able to do. And yet he did. He's been arrested, what, 8-9 times, I guess. And I'm kind of wondering of what good are the current gun laws here in the United States of America, out of curiosity. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I think the current gun laws are outstanding. The problem is we're not enforcing them.
Ah, okay.
If you know, this guy, you know, and I read the reports on the news cycle. They said he had been convicted of illegally owning an automatic weapon. In order to have an automatic weapon in the United States, you can own one if you have a federal firearms license, which requires substantial screening, some cost involved.
Oh, yeah, it's huge cost because you have to go with the old machine guns, right? There are no new ones for civilians.
That's correct. So, but it's very expensive. But you do not, you know, as a gun owner and shooter and hunter, I will not break those rules, right? Mm-hmm. I will not break those rules. I won't break those laws. All my friends are very cognizant of them. This guy violated those laws, yet somehow he's still able to get a weapon. The problem is the gun laws, in almost all cases, are sufficient. It's that we're not enforcing them. And so when somebody breaks the law with a weapon, they should be appropriately handled, and then they should have their access to weapons completely restricted or taken away. And that does not seem to be the case here. This guy had more, I don't know if he owned this SKS legally, but when he got arrested for having a fully automatic weapon, I suspect they should have taken his guns from him. Now, I don't know where he stands legally. Mm-hmm. And if this weapon wasn't totally, you know, once you take the serial number off, it makes it a legal weapon as well. So I'm hoping in this instance they charge him appropriately and that he is put in jail so he can't hurt anybody else.
Obviously, it seems to be, and yet there are some real issues here because it seemed like he was pretty active politically, or he had a pretty big social media presence, and it was known after the fact that that he even got arrested in Ukraine as he was trying to go out there and get freedom fighters, you know, to sign up to go into Ukraine. So he was kind of a hothead, I guess is one way of looking at it. But there's nothing illegal about being a hothead or being even kind of weird, you know, in some particular respects.
Right.
And I heard some talking heads on the television yesterday talking about, well, gosh, this guy was really weird. Why weren't people, keeping an eye on him? Why, you know, gosh, how do you draw that line there, Colonel, you know, between, hey, okay, you're weird, you get involved politically and this and that and the other, and political speech, of course, very protected. In the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. How do you make this work with keeping people safe and keeping people away from weapons who shouldn't be, you know, near the weapons because they've shown a problem of being irresponsible?
Yeah, it's a tough scenario. We take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for the listeners, I want everybody to understand that we do not take an oath to support a president, a commandant of the Marine Corps, but we take an oath to support the Constitution. And that is what I hope everybody sees and understands about their military service, or, you know, their military individuals. When you look at the United States as a whole, you know, freedom of speech is very, very important. But when you take that speech and make threats, that's when I believe they take action.
Mm-hmm.
Being weird or being an oddball, it's not against the law. And frankly, I think we welcome that in the United States, right? We're a very diverse nation. The problem becomes when you start saying on social media or you start saying in the media that it's okay to stop Donald Trump at all costs. That to me is inciting violence.
Well, numerous Hollywood celebrities could be charged and guilty of that, along with some news people, too, for that matter.
They should, and in my opinion, when you make that threat, I think somebody put a thing out today. I just saw it right before this call. It said somebody said that if someone were to kill the vice president, they'd be an American hero. And that should be, they should be arrested. Hmm. Right? When you are, that to me, in my opinion, that is threatening a government official. And that should not be tolerated.
Certainly implied threat. Certainly implied threat. Yeah.
At least investigated, right? But if you start taking action of people that say things that are driving and inciting political violence, maybe it will stop.
Marine Corps Colonel William Dunn, retired, and his new book out, Gunfighters Rule. It really looks interesting. I'll get all your information up there. Colonel, I know you have other people to talk to this morning, and I spent longer with you than I had told you I would. But I appreciate you sharing a few thoughts here. And you're going to be working on a second book here, too, at some point? What do you think about next?
I am. And so I'm about three-quarters of the way through my second book. It's called Linebacker 6. And when I gave up command of the gunfighters, I became a Marine Aircraft Group commander of MAG 40, and then I became a Marine Expeditionary Unit commander of 22 MU. And I deployed back to Iraq, back into combat with now a – I was a colonel then, a lieutenant colonel as a squadron commander. Now I was in command of 2,200 Marines and sailors, 31 airplanes, an infantry battalion. And we went back into combat, and just the MU did some wonderful things. And so that will be my second book, hopefully out January time frame.
Do you have to run that all by the Marine Corps before you put it out?
No. I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of the things I will. I spent some time at United States Stratcom. I'm going to have to run that by them.
All right. Very good. I was just kind of curious how much of your book you have to run by the other eyes, because, you know, that way you don't say anything or give away anything that could help someone give us trouble.
I do send my books through a lawyer.
Okay.
So they, uh, they, they check it out for sure.
All right, very good. Colonel, pleasure meeting you, and they hope to have you back on, and you be well. Good luck on Gunfighters Rule, okay? Take care.
Yes, Bill, thank you very much. You have a wonderful rest of the week, and hope all your listeners have a great day. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah, and all the craziness that is now these United States. 7 o'clock, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. This is the Bill Myers Show.
This is Brent with Homan Built Deck and Fence, experts in custom deck and fence construction. As an authorized Trex Pro deck builder, we use the highest quality products for your deck, including custom handrail packages, drainage systems, and even deck lighting. As a small hometown business, we provide personalized design and creative solutions for your outdoor space. My website is homanbuilt.com, HOMANBuilt.com. Homan Built Deck and Fence. We build the best and fix the rest.
CCB 232-179.
Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Byless Road on Airway Drive.
Life's busy and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Occasionally, guests simply order bacon with a side of bacon. Yes, it's that good at Diner 62.
We've heard it all.
Apparently, those larger tires don't provide more clearance.
It was a really big bird. Might have been a pterodactyl.
I should have screwed that tool shelf in the garage to the wall.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And we'll check town hall news here in about a minute or so and catch up on what else has been going on. Maybe, you know, the latest admissions of what happened with the would-be assassin's attempt on Sunday. And some other issues, it's open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Anything that's grinding you, whether it is the traffic downtown, whether it is the forest map, whether it is the assassination attempt. And a light question I wanted to pose to you, because there was a study that came up two, 3 days ago about when are you considered an adult? When do people consider you an adult? Now, legally, you're an adult at age 18. Know about that. This survey was pretty interesting. They say that most Americans these days don't feel like adults until they're 27. 27 years old. Wow. I was kind of surprised to see that, in which they feel like they're, you know, into the accoutrement of adulthood, the trappings of adulthood, where being responsible and stuff. I'll just tell you, the time that I felt an adult, in which I think, hey, I had finally arrived. Well, I got married, for one thing, and I got married when I was first 23 years old. Okay, so I was 23 years old when I got married. My wife was a few years younger than me. She was 18. Very young, you know, in those days. And it's kind of the starter marriage, you know, in Seattle at that point. But we bought a house out east of Seattle at that point and worked our tail off to make that happen. But I would say at age 23, yeah, you know, house, paying property taxes. And boy, let me tell you, you want to start paying attention more to politics, start paying property taxes, and you start paying attention to those local cities in King County and Seattle, as an example. Yikes. But that was perhaps the beginning of my political education, paying property taxes for sure. Maybe we talk about that too. When did you feel like you were an adult? Not just 18, but when did you feel like you finally did it, huh? So we'll do that coming up. Anything else on your mind, too, on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday?
Summer's winding down, but the savings are heating up at Kelly's Automotive Service. We're saying goodbye to summer with a deal you can't miss. Get a full synthetic oil change up to 6 quarts, plus a free air filter, including installation up to $35, a digital vehicle inspection, and a Ring-Nix windshield treatment. That's a